business is done.
No, the business is not done.
What business?
I have business.
Mm. All right, what's your business?
I have the business of gifts.
Oh, fuck.
I have the business of being Fat Santa.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm waiting till
Kaylee
gets back.
Are you
going to
get me, like, chocolate anuses like they did on
I did consider that. Although...
I only want it if it's molded after yours.
Ew.
You need to watch... Listen to
the Christmas special.
The Christmas special.
Nah, I don't like the specials.
It finally got dropped to the plebes, yes, who aren't on Spotify.
Yes.
Because I'm not.
Yeah. I'm not either.
The first gift I got for Anna.
Ooh. Oh my goodness! The dolphin hot pack.
Oh my god! It's not a dolphin.
I love it. Yes, did you see Panda? It's very exciting.
Something came out of a crinkly bag.
Like, I'm like Pam.
It might be food.
It's the HR dolphin.
Is it food? It's not food.
It's not food.
Sorry, buddy.
It's a dolphin. I guess it could be food, but...
Thank you. That's fantastic.
The second gift
is
for Tony.
Oh, shit.
In a bag I thought was much smaller than this when I purchased the pack of them.
Merry Christmas, nerds.
I thought it was like a dice bag-sized bag.
Yeah.
It is not that.
There's a couple things in here.
It looks like a shopping bag.
Oh, Game of Phones. Nice. Looks like it has an expansion set with it.
That's going to be fun.
And... I saw this. How to live with a huge penis. Advice, meditations, and wisdom for men who have too much. Oh, this is good.
And then related to the huge penis, I think this is the last thing I've got in here. Oh, you don't even know yet.
What is this?
They are stress balls.
Oh. I was like, David, why are you giving this to me here? Oh. So I'm like supposed to stick them under my desk? Just be like...
Oh, that's amazing.
Stress balls.
Dealing with discrimination.
Oh,
I'm gonna risk a copyright here. In a world struggling to heal the wounds of a racially and ethnically divided past, overhung men are still victimized by what the poet Israel McCarthy calls, quote, the last fashionable prejudice, unquote. For a man with OMG, life is a minefield of ridicule, ostracism, even physical attacks. In this chapter, we'll tackle some real-life examples of discrimination shared by your fellow sufferers. After each story, Dr. Richard and Reverend Owen will each present his own view on how the situation could have been handled differently. This is chapter 2.
That's fantastic.
Dealing with morbid curiosity. Dealing with exclusion, with fear.
Fear.
The scenario. We'd just finished dinner. I'll never forget the amount. $366.68. Not because it was a lot to spend on a dinner for two, but because of the 666 in the middle. One of those things that gives you a chill when you think about it later. Anyway, I paid, got her coat from the check room, and walked her to the car. In the parking lot, while I was punching the address of this club into the navigation system, she said, "I want to thank you for dinner," and started rubbing her hand on my leg. "Right here?" I asked. "Right here." She started undoing my zipper, and I thought, should I say something? But it was too late. Out it came. She jumped back and shrieked. Turned and frantically started pulling the door handle, but the automatic locks were on. She took off her Rolex, hyperventilating. "Please, please don't kill me."
What the fuck?
"Take anything you want." She dug through her purse and threw her wallet at me. I just sat there stunned, paralyzed with confusion. The next thing I knew, she pepper sprayed me in the face. I screamed, clutching my eyes and dry heaving. She finally got the door open and ran off into the night.
Wow.
I mean, who hasn't done that?
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Dealing with threats of physical violence?
There's a lot of good stuff in that book, Tony.
Yeah. Chapter 3, Unzipping, Coming Out to Your Friends and Family. The image for the chapter is fantastic.
Oh, that's a stick figure.
Oh!
with
a third leg.
A third leg, yeah.
A third longer leg.
Yeah. Oh, my. Chapter 4, Care and Maintenance of Your Huge Penis. It's a dude, stick figure dude, lifting weights. And his penis is lifting weights as well.
Oh, and it has a little muscle, too.
Yeah, the
his
thing
penis
is,
has its own little...
yeah, the thing is, look at the weight the penis is holding.
It's
like
bigger
than
the
one.
Size.
Oh, his arm is.
His
yes.
arms. Oh, thank you. This is fantastic.
This will surely provide you with half an hour's worth of entertainment.
Just figuring out how to work my nice balls.
The birds.
Hope is the thing that with feathers that perches on the soul.
Oh, wow. My. Oh, this is amazing.
That's fantastic.
I'm waiting on your gift until there are more people to enjoy it. It's best shared in a group.
I don't, the dates don't matter to me. So yeah. As soon as I remember I have a gift for someone, I just give it to them. So it is no longer my responsibility.
That's fair. I'm wrapping presents starting tomorrow. That's another reason.
I don't wrap presents.
Well, that came in a bag.
Yeah,
so.
That was fancy.
Well, I bought the bag.
But that,
I also thought it was a different bag. I thought it was dice bag size, but it's like a bag for holding multiple dice bags.
It's a bag for holding a huge penis.
Yeah.
Thematically sized.
Perfect. All right, so we know we'll talk about Aquaman the next time we get together in the new year. This will be the first episode that gets released in the new year. This one we're recording right now.
Unlike every other content producer on the planet, we're not going to do a best of recap of the year.
No.
Because that shit is dumb.
I'd have to go back and...
fantastic.
I'd have to go back and figure out what we released this year. And
that's a lot.
That seems like work.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And looking backwards. Always
ever
forward.
Ever forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Always forward.
Follow the huge penis forward.
It is pointing the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Leads
penises
the way.
Never point backwards, so
not if you're doing it right.
Why should
unless there's a whole weird like tucking situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's fair.
Sorry, I don't wanna yeah, that's true.
That's fair.
I found your exclusionary.
I know, I'm sorry.
Divisive language.
Penises are complicated and they can point in all kinds of directions.
Penises are simple, vaginas are complicated.
It's just a hole.
No, it was penises are funny.
Penises are funny.
Penises
vaginas
are
always
vaginas
serious.
Are always serious.
That's true.
Yeah. That was a Lukeism.
Fucking Luke.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Oh, hell we are.
2019 in a week and a half. Unless you're listening to this, then it'll be like now.
Now.
Unless you're listening to it on Twitch, and then it's still coming.
Yeah. Then it's still, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still in the future.
Or maybe not. Or maybe it's the past. Who knows? Time. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, because the audio is recorded on Twitch, too. So you can,
right.
like, listen to the, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been keeping up with the CW Arrowverse shit.
Yeah, that whole nonsense.
Yeah. So the nonsense that is Legends of Tomorrow, which is the most nonsense of the nonsense shows in that group.
That was too much.
It is, which makes it great because they know exactly what kind of nonsense they are and they just kind of lean into it. They turned a character that's basically an analog of Elmo into a god, which is just hilarious. They did that last season. And that little stuffed animal keeps showing up this season. They're time travelers.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like this time bureau that's their, like this government agency. They've got a, shit, there's Luke.
You summoned him with the serious vagina talk.
Yeah, the serious vagina summoned him. So they've got this like liaison dude that's come in like, all right, we're going to shut this down. It's too much money. He's like from the government. The dude is played by fucking Biff.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Old Biff.
is,
and they keep making allusions to Back to the Future, like throughout. At one point, he's like, "Let's make it like a tree and get and leave." He's like, "Let's make it like a tree and leave," and somebody's like, "Yeah, I don't think that's how that goes."
Wait. So the dude who played Biff, does he now look like old Biff?
Kind of. He kind of does. Just not as comical. Old Biff was a little bit exaggerated.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close.
Ugh, now I gotta look it up. God damn it, Tony.
You're welcome.
that whole DC-iverse is just too much.
It is.
I have other media things I want to talk about, but they are in relation to the movie, no less.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we should just dig into this.
Let's just get into the movie.
Anna, you were the one that brought us the movie. Yeah. What did you think of it?
I loved it. I have to say, though, I don't love it okay. I love it because it's everything I loved about movies when I was in college, like 90s movies.
Okay.
And there were a lot of great people in it. That's enough. That's how I feel. I love it.
Okay. You've really stepped up your high level review game.
Yeah, I realized there's a limit.
David?
I wanted to dislike this movie at every of the first 45 minutes and then couldn't bring myself to dislike this movie after that.
Mm.
So I liked this movie.
Don't worry, I get your back on that because I did dislike this movie. But I do see what you're saying about the very 90s niche, mm-hmm. the 90s-ish of it.
Mm-hmm. It's so 90s.
Yeah. So let's start there. At one point, I don't even remember exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. They were in I think they were shopping or they were in a store.
Mm-hmm. Was it when Susan Sarandon was in the store? Oh, yeah. With Tula?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, no, it wasn't that. I think it was before that. It was kind of manic. The way that, whatever the scene was, it was kind of manic and was kind of not well framed and was very, it felt like somebody went back in time and hired Kevin Smith when he made Clerks to be the cinematographer because he wasn't good.
Are you talking?
Like there was a couple of sequences like that were just like somebody grabbed a camera and it's like, all right, just start acting. We're just gonna We're just gonna shoot this. And it's like they mm-hmm. they didn't plan it and mm-hmm. you could like, at least that's the way it felt. Mm-hmm. It felt very guerrilla.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a bunch of thoughts about the camera work.
Yeah.
But I think it's more related to the fact that this is, yeah, so that's my sort of, it's not even a criticism. It's that if I want to really like just not spoon this movie into my mouth, like it's Cozy Shack rice pudding, like, and really think about it.
There's a story there. Oh my God. That's so specific.
I've had some Cozy Shack moments. And so anyway, but like, if I want to really think about this movie, what I think is interesting about it is that you've got this whole non-realism thing going on in a very present day. And, while there are some visions and stuff, like there's no sort of magical realism to like turn it fantastic, except for the singing and like certain, the dance moments and
So that was a question I had. When exactly was this set?
Well, that's another thing.
I just thought late 90s.
I thought 70s there for a while. Like,
so, okay. And I don't know if this was on purpose or if this is like a problem, but I think there's like layers of nostalgia going on.
Layers and layers. I absolutely
because
agree.
This is a 2007 movie mm-hmm. that looks a lot like, say, I mean, what always comes to mind is like Buffalo 66 or some of those other kind of like 90s Jim Jarmusch, like quasi indie movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that are, because of the way the economy was and the culture was in the mid 90s, you have this like mid to late 90s once we kind of got over like things being great and we had like that dip in, was it 97 or whatever, 96, 97, you have this real looking back and the gas prices spiked. No, not yet. But you have this look like nostalgia for the 70s mm-hmm. is my point, is you have this like interest in like the downtrodden Rust Belt spaces and like the 70s, which, you know, and this sort of 70s look, as well as 70s, like looking back to the 70s. And then this is done in 2007 when the economy was fucking shit.
Yeah.
And I can't tell, like you said, if they're looking back on the 90s, looking back on the 70s, or if they're looking straight back to the 70s, or, yeah.
Yeah.
But it pulls all this stuff in.
They did something similar to, like, what a lot of times they've done with Batman movies, where they're really nebulous about the period it's set in. They'll have vehicle designs from the 40s, architectural designs that look... like pseudo like 50s futuristic and then everybody's walking around with modern tech.
Okay.
But the police are dressed like beat cops from the 50s and 60s. Like it had that feel to it, like this was a stylistic choice. Like and that's so it's not a complaint, because I think they succeeded in because it was uncomfortable. Like I couldn't put my finger on when this is supposed to be. So like that was a little disconcerting, which I think added to that fantasy quality to to the movie.
You're right. I didn't even think about it like that, but that makes a lot of sense, because when I think about it, it's like this whole street neighborhood. I can't tell. You can tell it's suburban New York, but is it like Staten Island, like we saw with the kindergarten teacher? Because it was a sort of similar neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, or was it some other suburb? Like, we don't know. And like that's the spaces, that street, that neighborhood felt very much, you're right. Like it was its own place stuck in time almost, because it's hard to like read the adultery and the way that like people are relating to each other is hard. You read that differently if it happened in the 70s versus whether it happened in the 90s versus whether it happened now, like the whole gender stuff and everything. And so like it like doesn't allow you to ever read it in the way, at least the way I kept trying to read it.
Right. The music kept harkening back to much earlier than the 90s.
Oh yeah.
It was the music was much older. Yes. There was not everything.
Yeah.
But most of it.
Yeah, no, the music kept telling you were in the late 60s through the 70s with Little Motown.
Well, see, and that's where I thought maybe we were set in the 70s because the nostalgia for the music of the 60s was so strong.
Yes.
Because the nostalgia always looks backwards. So that was so my the thing I'm going to check my review here, because critically I think the movie succeeded in what it was trying to do, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
objectively you think it was good, but subjectively you didn't care for it.
Correct.
Okay, that's interesting, because mine was almost the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, that I loved it subjectively. I'm not completely sure that it succeeded in what it was going to do,
I was listening.
And although now, like, Tony's beginning, like, making me rethink that, so maybe I'm going to think it's subjectively now a good movie and subjectively a good movie. But I
thought it was both.
What did you think about it?
No, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. The problem that I had with the film, which... I mean, I thought, like, the whole fantastical piece, the musical piece set in a space that normally isn't associated, well, that you wouldn't right away think about musicals with.
Right.
The way they handled the music was fantastic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, speaking, like, having it almost like a sing-along, so you had the actors actually singing, even though they don't have great voices, but it still works.
Right.
Like, that was a fantastic...
I liked it that they were singing along with the music, and not just lip-syncing, and not... Yes. It wasn't just lip-syncing, it wasn't... They were singing it and replacing the vocals. They were singing it along with, which I really did like.
Yes. I loved that choice. Like, just the... Having them do that stylistically is fantastic because it's like this story is not new or original. Like this is the exact same shit like that everyone writes these dumbass love songs about and they're just singing their iteration of it. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
And I thought like just expressing that passion, I thought that was just a perfect medium for expressing the kind of passion that we have over, like you said, these really sort of boring ass love stories, but that are a part of a lot of people's lives, right? without it getting too cliched. At the same time, it made me feel like we should have more of this in film, but we need to find different ways to film it. Like, there was something about, it was the camera work. I can't even, like, express what needed to happen fully. But I don't think that you can film, that you can frame or film that kind of story and that kind of fantasticalness in a normal way. Like, in a normal, especially indie guerrilla way.
So it really felt like John Turturro, who was the writer-director of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt like he was trying to do an homage to early 90s indie movies. Like, I kept getting the vibe of Clerks,
yep.
of the stuff that Ed Burns did, Brothers McMullen, like some of the Spike Lee stuff. Like, just the way things were shot and framed, mm-hmm. and like they're not the stock camera angles and distances and mm-hmm. lighting. Mm-hmm. Things are just a little bit raw.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it very much had that feel of it. But because of the level of talent they had in front of the camera, I can only believe that was a stylistic choice.
Yeah.
If like it's not something it's not a matter of inexperience mm-hmm. that's yeah. doing that. This is a choice. These were choices that were made.
This is also why I think it feels so weird, yeah. right? Because that portion of it is so raw, but the actors and the script, like the dialogue, is really sharp.
Yeah.
So like you have that really raw filmmaking style, but you have so much polish everywhere else that yeah. the juxtaposition of those feels really off-putting.
Well, and the types of characters you're seeing are very similar to the characters you see who are going through very real struggles because they made shitty decisions.
Yeah.
Like I was flipping around channels and I saw that Brothers McMullen was on like a week ago, and I was playing a video game, so I just put it on in the background because I used to watch the hell out of the movie, and it was like I'd forgotten a lot of it because it's been a long time since I've seen it. Then when I watched this one again, it was like, man, it's all right here. Mm-hmm. It's all right here in this one. I guess that was part of the reason I didn't like the movie, is because I'm farther away from that part of my life and that nostalgia for yeah. that time period. Like, it's like I can appreciate what those things were at the time, mm-hmm. but watching them now is not
they don't
the
hold
same.
Up for
They're okay. not the same. No, they don't hold up in the same way. Mm. Like for me, like for example, Clerks, I literally could see myself and my best friend yeah, being yeah. Oh, Randall
yeah.
and Dante
yeah, yeah.
at the time. But, you know.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Yes.
30 years later, because yeah. I could see myself as me and my buddy in high school. 30 years later, I don't talk to that dude anymore. Like, there are reasons.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Like, that guy's a terrorist.
No, but he's a racist, and he's just generally not a great person. The thing was, is we were both not great people when we were teenagers, but...
Yeah, because you were teenagers.
Because you're teenagers, and, like, I've grown and changed, and he clearly hasn't. And so it was like, I have no interest in associating with him anymore.
Yeah.
I recently found out that somebody we used to work with 30 years ago, earlier this week, died of cancer. And Julie was like, oh, should you let him know? No, I would have to interact with him. And I just don't want to anymore. Yeah. I just don't.
The statute of limitations on any obligation to that relationship died a long
yeah.
Yeah. time.
And you don't know what he knows and how he knows it. So
right.
there's no obligation yeah. there.
Nope. But yeah, so I think for me, it's just, I just didn't care for, also didn't care for the people.
Okay. All right. Let's pull that back a little bit, Tony. And I'm not talking about the excised foreskin either. let's put a pin in that for a moment.
All right.
And let's talk about the acting talent in this movie. And can we please acknowledge the standout performance in this fucking movie?
What, Kate's bra?
Kate's bra? Bobby Cannavale.
Oh my God.
Freiberg was the best part
yeah,
of this
Freiberg
fucking
was
movie.
Amazing.
He was really
Freiberg,
good.
Yeah.
Freiberg Bobby Cannavale
sees
things.
What did he say?
Great.
Freiberg sees things in black and white.
He said a lot
Freiberg
of things.
Freiberg is a free, yeah.
Oh, you
I meant to
me
write some. I meant to write some of his stuff down. It
you
was good.
Kiss me so good, I'm going to make out with your whole family. And so I can only picture every time he was on the screen, I picture that last scene from the last episode of Mr. Robot where, like, he leans in real close to that fucking guy and he's like, I'm taking a vacation. She'll be fine with it. Just, like, grabs his face and, like, pushes him away. That shit was so good, man.
Bobby Cannavale is so good.
Oh, he was so good. And that was only the tip of the iceberg of talent in this goddamn movie.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was really fucking good.
Yeah.
When you just saw, like, great people coming out of the woodwork here and there. I forget who's, who was his mother? I forgot who she was, but she's also Wilsh, really cool.
Christine Wilsh, yeah. Something like that.
But,
she's dead, though.
Yeah, I know. But, I also thought it was an interesting move to have the girls played by middle-aged actresses. Had the really young, like, because I was like, is that Mary Louise Parker? And then I kept checking on the date and thinking, how is this possible that this is Mary Louise Parker?
Yep. Elaine Stritch.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Mary Louise Parker and Totoro's daughter are both, like, 2 or 3 years younger than James Gandolfini. But, like, it doesn't feel like there's that age gap. Like, it feels like it's a reasonable difference in their ages. Who the fuck else was in this?
James Gandolfini,
Susan Sarandon.
Steve Buscemi. Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
Claire Danes, right? Not Claire Danes. No. The other one.
Kate Winslet.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
And Christopher fucking Walken.
Yes!
Like,
Amy Sedaris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christopher Walken was fantastic.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah. There was not enough.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had forgotten that he was in it until he showed up. I was like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. This is awfully late in this movie for him to show up.
Yeah. One, you're in a church. Two,
I was hoping for more of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And three, that's not normally how I see you dress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm thinking that. It's interesting. Too. It's interesting also to me that this story, while if this was a movie in the early 90s, everyone in this movie would be 20 somethings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it would have been the director and like who he could find from his buddies or from the local film, you know, the local drama club, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing that was a little bit off-putting to me was that.
Yeah, there weren't young people.
Right. Yeah. But it was the same. Like, the story was the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's because the story's always the same.
Oh, yeah.
So John Turturro wrote this while he was filming Barton Fink.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, you can feel the Coen brothers just, like, in this, like, in the bones of this movie.
And they produced it.
You just feel them in the movie.
Was it both of them or just Ethan?
Both of them.
Okay.
Both of them. Both of their names were on the production credits. Yeah, it was so weird to have Ada Turturro play his daughter when they played brother and sister. They played brother and sister in Sopranos.
Yeah.
That was a little off-putting.
Like the fucking some of this dialogue is just out of control. You two must think I'm the cucumber in the gardener's ass. The fuck?
I mean, like, a lot of points, it's practically Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Because it
slips into that in, like, weird moments. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they build James Gandolfini as just, like, this, like, bridge construction bro. Yeah. But then, like, every once in a while, he'll just...
come out with.
Yeah.
What was... something that threw me off was, what was the purpose of the fight that he had? Because I don't feel like the fight that he had with his neighbor, with Amy Sedaris' boyfriend, where the guy's like, he hasn't fucked his wife in a year or whatever.
Oh, they start talking again.
But I thought they were beginning to talk before then. Okay. And then they have the awkward, like, conversation at the table about actors and actresses.
Yeah, because that's like one of those moments too where like the situation is ridiculous and I don't know why the produce guy is actually picking this fight. There's like no fucking reason for him to be picking this fight, but like that's one of those moments where like it's ridiculous and now they're gonna get into this like blue collar fight. And then like as he's walking away and she's like, what are you doing? She speaks.
Yeah. okay, she cares about him. She doesn't fully hate him, like she said.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, that's just that's just like a really compelling scene where, like, he's got his back to her and he's like about to go do this thing, mm-hmm. and then like she actually shows concern for him, like in the briefest of, oh no.
Yeah.
I like that scene. The scene was really good. And she fucking hits that guy with a tree. You're gonna hit me with a tree. I really thought the ridiculous, like fully exaggerated scenes were gonna wear on me. Because this is another part of the film, the cinematography being so rough with the exaggerated scenes. Like for the first 30 minutes of the movie, I didn't know what he did for a living.
No.
Right.
Because I thought he was a firefighter.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be like, yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, that's it. No, that's it. Because then they put out What's-Her-Face, they put Tula out.
No, I kept asking myself what he was doing as well, because they'd have the moments where he was singing and I thought, oh, is he also like, is he a garbage collector, you know? Like what? Yeah.
Any good trivia over there, Tony?
Nick Murder.
Nick?
Yeah, Murder. That last name.
That was an interesting choice.
Yeah. He's the one who dies.
I want to buzz your butt.
Buzz your butt. The mini stories, like, the walk-in mini story was good.
Yeah.
Like, because then it got weird in the middle. Because I couldn't tell if he actually stabbed that chick or not. Like, I don't know if that actually happened or not.
Yeah, I...
Because, like, he basically...
But it was the song.
It was in the song, and he basically shows up because Susan Sarandon's like, I'm going to go kill this whore. And, like, he's like, let's go fucking kill this whore.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. I'll kill a whore with you. Let's go fucking do it. So, like his excitement at doing that leads me to believe this is not a new thing.
Yeah.
The word whoremaster... I heard it twice. Is that a word that you've heard before?
I've never heard that before.
The word whoremonger.
I've heard whoremonger.
Whoremonger.
I've never heard whoremaster.
Which I thought was interesting.
His fucking mom, when she rolled into that hospital room, sit down.
Yeah.
Then she launches into that weird story. Oh, yeah, my father-in-law was trying to sleep with me.
Yes.
What's going on now?
Yeah.
Where are we?
That was really strange.
She's got that old grizzled voice.
And what was weird, like, she's telling the story and it's like, all right, I'm following the story, and then all of a sudden I'm not following the story anymore because it's not making sense, because I don't think that that's what she means. Oh no, that's exactly what she means.
What
is happening?
Yeah, I thought I had the relations messed up.
Right?
Only I didn't. Yeah, no, I was following the story. No,
apparently I was following it perfectly well. Yeah. It was just a fucking whacked out story.
Yeah.
For me, that part hammered home that Nick was a good guy.
Nick was a good guy?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because part of what's going on here is, like, it's easy to vilify him. He's, like, with this girl. He's got his wife at home. He's the adulterer.
I mean, but also Kate Winslet. I mean,
yeah, but also, on. Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, he's the adulterer. So it's easy to sort of think of him as the asshole and think of him as even being overbearing, but he's not. He's a good dad. I mean, he's a good enough dad. Maybe my bar's low. I don't know. He seemed fine to me. He wasn't a jerk, is my point.
All right, yeah. He wasn't a jerk and he wasn't abusive.
Yeah.
If that's the bar, you're right.
Which... Like, he had an incredible flaw in that he was an adulterer.
Yeah. I mean...
And what else?
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, I mean, like, he does have reasonable, like, when his daughter tells him that she's getting married, like, he doesn't fly off the handle like you would expect to see, like, in most sitcom, like, what'd your mom say?
Yeah.
Because, like, because he already knows that she's done the research on this whole situation. Right. He's like, oh, she hates it. I gotta be against it, too.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, also because it's, because it makes sense. And then I think maybe where I got that he was a good dad was how the look on his face as he was sort of following what was going on outside when she was having that conversation and kind of egging her on. He was like coaching from that, like.
Yeah. I did like that.
Coaching her through this. And so, so I think I felt like, he's got some like shitty stuff around women.
Yes.
And, but look what he came from.
Right.
Like his father Yeah, like, look what he, or his grandfather. So look what he
and
came,
his father.
And his father, yeah. Look what he came from, and he's actually a reasonable, like, all he is an adulterer. He's just like, yeah. And for Kate Winslet, which I feel like doesn't count as real adultery. But, but.
Yeah, you gotta figure she's probably on a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's probably on both of their lists. And his wife is just pissed that she didn't wasn't get
invited.
She would, yeah, yeah, she wasn't there also.
Yeah. So, yeah, so to me that, like, established, because I kept trying to think, how are they trying to play him? And then to me that story established that he was a good guy. Hmm. But maybe it shouldn't have.
It's interesting, though, because, like, the good guy, bad guy
dichotomy,
like, the lines people draw for what is a good person, what is a bad mm-hmm. person, what's where the lines are, like, I've seen some things recently where people were comparing sentences for someone who committed murder mm-hmm. to sentences for someone who committed rape. Mm-hmm. And their arguments were based on racial and gender mm-hmm. makeups of the people. But there was a weird dichotomy in that, like, you're comparing someone who was accused of and had evidence of murder and a person who was accused of, and there was similar evidence to the person committing rape, but the apples and the oranges are far enough apart that we can't make a balanced argument for these two things. It makes the arguments hard to make.
Oh, that you can't combine those?
It makes them more difficult.
Okay. I have complicated feelings about that because I feel like murder, and maybe this is what's messed up about me, I feel like there are, like, some really excellent reasons to murder somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There are no good reasons to rape somebody, ever.
Right.
You know? They're, you know, like, and I mean outright murder, not mm-hmm. self-defense. You know, I mean, maybe you found out. God, I don't know. I mean, there are all kinds of good reasons to murder people.
I don't think you can murder somebody in self-defense.
That's true. Then it's not. But it's that's not, what that was not, my clear. That bad. Was, yeah, was yeah, my no, point. I was yeah, clearly not, saying, like, this is clearly murder. This is not right. killing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like murder in some ways is morally a lot more ambiguous. Like, so,
you and your goddamn murder.
I know. It's too much. I listen to too much true crime. I guess some of it's like, you know, if somebody murdered somebody, I don't assume they're bad. I feel like I need to know more details.
Yeah, that seems
problematic. And if somebody, like, rapes somebody, I just assume they're bad. Because, like...
Pretty good shortcut.
Yeah. There aren't, like, good reasons to rape people. But there are good reasons to poison somebody or, you know, whatever else.
All the other things.
I just find it interesting that the class of
yeah.
crime are very different, but they're being used for apples mm-hmm. to apples comparisons.
Yeah.
I actually literally the entire movie never stopped to consider whether or not he was a good person.
I was trying to figure, really.
There aren't good people and bad people.
Well, like, okay.
One event doesn't define the entire morality of your
yeah.
life, right?
Right.
So yeah. like, he wasn't a shitty person the rest of the time, more or less.
But this film wasn't dealing in
yeah.
nuance, character nuance.
It actually bypassed the entire, like, moral and ethical discussion completely. It just happened.
That's true.
And it focused more yeah. on the consequence
and
to
the
relationships.
Feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, in which case it has nothing to do with the ethics. It has yeah. to do with how it makes the people involved feel, period.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or like, what do you do now?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you handle the consequence of this happening?
Yeah.
You hook up with Mary Louise Parker. That's what you do.
That's his daughter. Well, he would be, like, repeating
that's
family
his
shit. Mm, that's what he's not doing. He's going across town for that.
I'd have watched a really lengthy Bobby Cannavale, Mary Louise Parker sex scene with, like, some really complicated choreographed acrobatics.
I would watch that. I don't think it would even need to be that complicated.
No, I need it to be complicated.
Okay.
He would make it complicated. He would need it to be complicated.
Yeah.
Like, the only way he could perform was, like, it's a night owl situation where night
yeah,
owl
it's a
has
night
to
owl
be
situation.
He has to be in the costume.
In the suit. Yeah.
Bobby Cannavale has to be in the suit.
He's got to be in the suit.
He's got to be performing. Like, there's got to be a stage and a microphone.
Just a little bit of poetry.
Call me Freiburg. Yeah.
I
feel like I had a lot more to discuss about this movie while I was watching this movie.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I kind of, okay, so I'm sort of torn about the morality piece because in some ways there's like no fire behind what fires the wife's rage. And I've forgotten her name. What was her name?
Susan Sarandon's
rage. What fires that up is the idea that she's been done wrong.
Uh-huh. Right.
And, or like, what makes her rhetoric work is the fact that she's been done wrong.
Kitty Kane. Oh,
that's right, yeah. Which
it's
works.
It's that poetry. Hmm? It's the poetry. It's the poetry. That really sets her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's probably fine with the affair, but that fucking poetry.
It shows that he took the time to mentally seduce Tula.
Yes.
With the poetry.
Which is interesting because he tells her he doesn't think about her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, then maybe it is. I struggle with like, where did the intense feeling of an adultery story come from in an amoral world? But.
Where indeed.
Yeah.
Because you don't ever really get the sense, like, other than her trying to go fuck up Tula, you don't really ever get a sense that, like, she's that fiery about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have the whole scenario where she's with her gals out back, and he's out front by himself, and it's like they're at war.
Yeah.
So she's upset. I mean, I think that she's generally more upset about, they're both at ill at ease with like the way their lives have gone. It's sort of a classic middle-aged story.
Mm-hmm.
And the choices she made around relationships and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So what she's upset about, is about way more than the affair. It's about what the affair means, about the way their marriage has been for the last year. True.
I almost feel like she was just like gonna let the scenario be and just continue on in this like Arctic winter she had going on until Christopher Walken shows up and he's like, we gotta go find a chick and punch her in the tit. That wasn't the exact quote, but you can't tell me that you didn't for a minute think, did I miss that line?
Right. Yeah.
It's lovely they had her working on wedding dresses, Tula sold lingerie.
Yeah.
You know, prostitutes were the ones who wore panties.
Yes.
I don't have a whole lot else.
I don't have a whole lot else either. What are you doing there?
Kind of guilty about that.
Trying to quietly open.
You trying to read ahead on the cards to get an advantage?
No, I was just seeing what.
So how does this game of phones work?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I guess I could Google it
myself. Well, here's the deal.
Here's how the battle commences. Place the shuffled deck face down in the center of the table. Grab your smartphones. Each card instructs players to find, show, create, or do something on their phones. Players are free to interpret cards as they wish, but the aim is to always impress the judge. Minimum of 3 players, no maximum. Oldest player draws the first.
Oh.
Draws first. The player drawing the card is the judge for that turn. The judge should read the card out loud, then place it face up, begin timing for 60 seconds. The judge cannot play in the turn. They award the card to the player with the best response. They have the final say. Players can sit out turns if they wish, but be sure to make fun of them.
It's apples to apples rules.
Play moves clockwise. Repeat until someone has collected 10 cards to win the game. Tag us on Instagram. Except we'll house rule that the way we house rule a lot of them. And if you win, you get to draw next. So there's not one person. So Kayla doesn't win all the things.
Yeah. Don't read too many of those cards,
Tony.
I'm
not going to.
Should we play around?
Get someone who isn't playing to send you a photo of what they're doing. First reply, win. In the meantime, keep playing.
See? That shit's clever.
That
I
is
like
good.
That.
That's good. Yeah, I won't read ahead on these, but that's good.
Yeah, that's clever. I like that.
I like that.
Keep playing.
Keep playing. Mm-hmm. Don't let this slow the game down. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like this is going to be a fun. It's 4:00 in the morning at Tony's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're still playing it. Yeah. We've seen the same cards 4 times, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Because we're all good and drunk, and Alex is asleep on the couch, so we can keep going until he wakes up and tells us it's time to go home.
Until we wake him up and tell him we're ready to leave, because the sun is up.
This was on the bottom. Take a photo imitating an emoji.
I'm gonna coil myself into the poop emoji.
I like this. They included a spacer in here so I can just take that out.
Oh, yeah. For the...
and put the expansion straight on in there.
That is nice.
And there's still room.
Kids these days.
Kids these days who knew the pain of getting an expansion that wouldn't fit in the box. They actually plan for it.
Their effective box management. Mm. I just got in Faith on Monday to play Kingdom Death. And have you ever seen the TI box? The Twilight Imperium box?
Oh, yeah. That thing's massive. It's like massive.
As big as this, like, yeah. This table. So Scott bought this game, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it. But it's like... It's basically the new modern TI, but instead of the box being super wide, it's just super tall. So it's like the most satisfying. Like you start opening it and it's like starts sliding.
Thump. Nice. Yeah.
It's just like incredibly satisfying.
Find the best selfie of someone else. Which, if you have children who grab your phone, that can be real easy to do. Or the people that grab your phone and take a selfie.
I don't know who lets people touch their phone. That's just fucking insane to me.
Yeah, I got twitchy. We were at dinner and I had a Groupon and I showed the waitress and she's like, "Oh, I can take that," and she grabbed my phone and was like,
No, where are you going?
So like I could see her the whole time, but it took forever. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. I want my phone back.
Yeah. Where the fuck was I?
And then I got $30 off my meal. And oh, well. All right,
that was much better.
Yeah.
Where the fuck was I? I was like, I don't even have a passcode on my phone. What is going on?
I didn't have a passcode for a while.
Ugh. Maybe we were talking about that at one point. Maybe.
You have a passcode on your phone, don't you?
Sometimes I have it and sometimes I don't. It depends on...
Wait, what?
Like, I didn't for the longest time. I did for a while and then I didn't. And, then I decided to go ahead and like start doing Google like wallet where you can like wave your phone, you know? And, so I had to have a passcode.
Yep.
Which I find annoying. I hate having a passcode on my phone.
Your phone doesn't do any of the biometric shit?
Well, today, finally, I don't know what you mean by that, but today, finally, they did it so that, like... Oh, you mean...
Like your fingerprint?
No, it will, but I don't want it to do that. I don't want that. I'm afraid that I'll have some crap on my hands or that I'll just press it the wrong way and it'll get obnoxiously frustrating.
I don't know about other phones. Mine works really well. Really? And, like, the only time it doesn't is if... My hands are wet.
Okay.
Like if I'm sweaty or but if I just took a drink.
It's hard anyway to,
And it says, your finger's dirty, try again. Try it again. It's like, hey, you know what? Why don't you just put in your passcode? Okay. And then it just lets you put your passcode in.
Okay.
Yeah, at any time you can put your passcode
in. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, maybe I'll do that then.
So like if Julie grabbed my phone and wanted to get into it, she could just put in the passcode. Mm-hmm. Or, boop, there it goes. Yeah. Yeah, and I liked... Like the convenience of, I'm buying something on PayPal, use my thumb, get into my bank account.
I'll do that then. I didn't think about that. But no, so yeah, they made me have it. But today, a little thing popped up where if I'm at home, it's like I don't have to do my passcode, which I think is kind of the perfect.
Yeah, you can do the,
like when they sense that
the
I'm
home
at
Wi-Fi
my house.
Unlock.
Yeah.
Ew. I miss my thumbprint reader because it was like the perfect, I had the perfect system. So I'm real super anal about the way that I've got my pockets situated. My phone is always in the same pocket. Mm-hmm. It's always in upside down. So when I pull my phone out, it's always the same direction. And so like the Apple button was in the bottom in the middle. So like I would always grab it the mm-hmm. same way. And by the time I'd had it like up and out, it had been unlocked by my thumbprint.
Oh.
Yep.
Now I have this half second delay where when I pick my phone up, it's got to look at my face and unlock itself, and it's just a nightmare.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
That's a nightmare.
Unacceptable.
It is unacceptable.
I don't even know how you live your life anymore, David.
And I also look like a fucking moron when I'm using my phone to pay for shit now, because like I got to hold up the thing and then I got to like look at it. Like
you act like you're posing. Do duck lips.
No, I'm not doing duck face. Get out of here. I do that just in my natural state, because these lips are plump.
Yeah, it's why the goatee.
Yeah, you got to cover it.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Not licensed
Modesty
for public consumption.
That's
right.
Yeah. God, where was I? Somebody had a freaking passcode on their phone. This is going to drive me crazy.
I think it was me.
No, this was like in the last week.
Oh, okay. No, that was
you
me.
And I had that conversation.
In the last week?
pretty recently. Maybe the last 2 weeks, but it was definitely super recently.
Where have I gone?
And you were just horrified by my...
The last straw for me was having my phone in my pocket with the screen facing in, mm-hmm. and it was a really hot day, mm-hmm. so I was just sweating. Mm-hmm. And because the sweat made contact through the yeah, fabric, yeah, yeah. like, it opened up my phone, it had called people... Yeah. It had changed settings, like a bunch of settings. Like, I don't know how it happened. Like, the random nature of the settings it changed was just beyond me.
Yeah. When I used to...
I was like, no yeah. passcodes from now on. This is ridiculous.
When I put my phone in my bra, like, I boob dial people all the time.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Was it at my Christmas party?
Did I... Oh.
Not that you were boob dialing people at my Christmas party. Like,
I asked you if I did anything embarrassing at your holiday party.
Yeah, most of the people there were blackout drunk. And was like, did I do anything embarrassing at the party? I don't remember. But two, I don't even see how it's possible.
What? So, yes. We might have been talking about it at that party. Actually, like, my memory sort of vaguely places that conversation as happening last weekend, so... Mm.
Yeah, and like we only hung out with Alex last weekend.
Yeah.
And like, I know Alex has a passcode on his phone.
Yeah, maybe Ahmed just, might have, but...
It's just Alex.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Ahmed.
But I thought it was... Or maybe Ahmed started it and I joined in. I don't know.
It was someone.
But...
I got an award at my company party, Tony.
I saw that.
It's already crumpled up in the back of my car.
And he made a speech.
Perfect. I did make a speech. It was a whole bunch of wankery. Just a bunch of people jerking themselves off. It was the fucking worst.
I thought you liked that sort of thing.
No, I fucking hate that sort of thing.
You like
I love
it.
That song. I love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the high point of last year was when
God damn it.
was when Sam made his wedding about you.
I do like that. No.
His wedding reception. It wasn't during the wedding. To be fair, it was not during the wedding.
Okay.
It was during the reception.
Okay.
I mean, but it could have been Sam.
Yeah.
It could have been. Just throwing that out there. It could have been during the wedding as part of the vows. Just, just saying.
Yeah, the grousing that was taking place during and that smile that he had underneath the grouse was...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep, that. All right, we done?
I feel like the answer is yes, because I don't have much more to say about this movie.
Yeah, and I feel bad about it, because I really like it and think it's cool, but I don't have anything more to say about
it. Yeah, but like, yeah.
All right, who's this movie for?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Jack Skellington. Twist.
What's this?
Yeah, I mean, because whenever you think about nostalgia, you have to think about who's being encouraged to look back.
Right.
And at what.
This movie does some interesting things with nostalgia, too.
Yeah, because you usually look back on your youth.
Like, I feel like this movie is supposed to be nostalgic for me.
Okay.
In that, I'm like in the in-between time of... the music, mm-hmm. like the music that they featured was music that I heard growing up. It wasn't like what I chose to listen to, but it was what I heard growing up. Like that was the choices my parents made. But the films were just as I was getting, I'm just getting out of that nostalgia of my teen, like that for me, it was like all the 80s movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that was just the sweet spot of when I was going to the movies all the time. So the movies that they were referencing were movies that I tended to see later when I was like deep diving on VHSs at Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. That's when I would see those movies.
Yeah.
So it was like that weird, like it's a weird in-between time. But at the same time, I can see people before me and after me
mm-hmm.
picking up the nostalgia beats from it also. And maybe that's why I'm like, I didn't really care for it because I felt like in the middle of it all.
Okay. Like you didn't have a proper like landing spot for your nostalgia to land on as you shot it back.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also having a real hard time placing what ages they're supposed to be. Like Susan Sarandon has always looked to me like she's 100 years old. Just like I just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's just.
Even when she was young, she looked middle aged.
Yeah.
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 I think she looks hot, but, like, she's always looked the same. Okay, you don't feel like that. She's hot. Okay, I feel like she's hot.
I feel like you could probably swap her in for Theresa May, and if you put two pictures of them side by side, you'd be like, I can't tell the difference. Between their two ages.
Oh, age-wise. Yeah, but I'm talking about who I'd fuck.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway, whatever. Sorry, go on. Oh, what ages are people's... Well, I mean, okay. And maybe they're disrupting that, too, like, with the time. Because what frustrated me was, okay, they're clearly... They've been together a while. They have adult children, or almost adult children.
Are they adult children?
Well, I mean, this one girl, she's, like, in high school-ish.
Which one?
Well, the one who wanted to get married.
Is that why it was a big deal?
I thought so.
That's
thought...
the sense that I got.
I couldn't tell how old she was. Because she looked to me like she was in her 20s.
But then they have this older... I thought the sense was that she was in high school or late high school. Like, late high school because she's in this band. But maybe it's not made clear. But then who is this, like, older woman who looks the same age as Kitty? Who's like, you're like, you're my mama. You're not writing me my like real mama, but I feel about you like you're who is she? I don't even have, I don't have backstory. She's just this like one of the children and she calls Nick dad.
She looks like Sarah. So I just called her Sarah and I was like, oh, look, it's Sarah.
So James Gandolfini was younger when he made this movie than I am now.
Because you're like 100 now.
That makes me feel things, especially considering he died at the age of 51.
Whoa, he was young in this movie.
Yeah, well...
He just didn't take great care of...
Wait, was he young? What year did he die?
2013.
So he was 43?
Yeah, which he doesn't. To me, he looks older than 43.
Is
43 your new definition of young?
Well, the closer I get to it. He looks older than 43. He looks like...
We creep up on that birthday.
Yeah. What do I want to say? Because I'm trying to think about, like, the kind of crisis he's having. You know, it just depends. It's actually not even an age thing. It's what stage you are in life.
So the other weird nebulous thing about all of this is that he is, like, calendar-wise, he is 15 years younger than Susan Sarandon.
Mm-hmm.
James Gandolfini is. So that like... Makes it weird to...
In real life?
In real life.
I mean, when he was real life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he looks the same age or older.
Does he? Does anyone ever look Susan Sarandon's age? Because I submit no. Maybe that 102-year-old person who died the other week. How old is Susan Sarandon?
I think she is.
Susan Sarandon
is... She has to be 70-something now.
Now she is 72?
Oh.
Is there like a recent picture of her? Because you can just swap in any picture of her and it looks like the current picture.
I wonder what she does for skincare.
She's on the Crypt Keeper plan. If you told me this is a picture they took earlier this year, or you told me this was a picture they took 25 years ago, I would accept both as maybe true.
See.
Okay, this is the two of them at Venice right after the movie came out. And... They look the same age. She does not look 15 years older.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it, she's got an amazing body.
Part of it, yeah. Part of it, she is very healthy and he was very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But.
For a lot of his roles, they prematurely made him look older. They did the same thing with Michael Chiklis early in his career.
Was that after he showed his butt?
It was before.
Hmm. I see. So here's a good question. Did you think they were going to kill him?
I did. I didn't think that he was going to die of cancer? In a passive way.
Generic lung problem?
Right. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to... I thought there was more likelihood that there was going to be a violent death than a
mm-hmm.
a more medical death, like cancer, heart attack, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point when they... They really start focusing on, like, when he says the line, there's two things men need to do. They need to be romantic and they need to, whatever, smoke
themselves out. Yeah.
Like, at that point, it was like, that's a little bit of foreshadowing there. Mm-hmm. There's something going on there. And cigarettes were prevalent throughout the film, like, from the first image.
I mean, his coughing is prevalent throughout the film. Well, yeah. It, like, starts with his coughing, but it doesn't end with his coughing.
What?
I was pretty sure he was not going to have a violent death because they just never whipped the emotion up to a fever, like, to that level. And I think that through most of the movie, I was pretty sure that they were going to...
When is this?
93.
Okay.
I was expecting reconciliation.
Well, you were disappointed.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think you were disappointed.
No, okay. Like,
the expectation was not met.
Yeah, like, the way they sort of set it up. Mm-hmm. No, it was met. They reconciled.
They did... not reconcile.
She reconciled.
Yeah.
Did she?
I think she did.
She's like, I'll take care of you, but that's it.
Yeah.
I'll take care of you because you're sick, but that's the extent of what we have here. I don't feel like that's a reconciliation.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like that's just like what you would do for an animal you've lived with.
She stopped hating him.
After he was dead?
I think she stopped hating him
before
that. I think she stopped hating him when she defended him.
Yeah,
physically when she physically defended him in the street.
Mm-hmm. She wielded that fucking shrubbery.
But I think it might have also been the thing that nobody beats up my little brother because he's my punching bag.
But they're sitting at the table and he plays the song.
Right. It seemed like there could have been a reconciliation, maybe.
I think I don't know. Who knows what would have happened?
Right.
Because I don't have enough background on her. There's just not enough characterization to feel like what exactly this affair means to her.
Mm, that's fair.
Because he, you know, he leaves Tula.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really clear. And doesn't really seem to be torn about it. And so, I don't know. But, but I wasn't expecting some kind of blow up towards the end because of it. Like, at any point. And it's not me being like super romantic. It just didn't feel like it whipped things up to that point. And like being a musical and being very much about emotions and passion, they had the tools with which to do that without that looking crazy. And they did.
I'll just assume it's because you're a big softy.
Okay. I am sort of softy. I am a softy. I'm soft.
I've seen your animals. I know. She's this monstrous rat cage she has for her rats.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with things?
It's like a deluxe rat mansion. Many floors.
Rats have all, like, most of the brains, all of the section segments of the brain that we have, rats have too.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they test so many psychotropic drugs on rats. You can even, like, this actually, like, I don't care about animal testing at all. I'm like... I know it's problematic, like, in different situations, but it's not, like, something I get upset about, and I definitely don't think that it's, like, across the board wrong. But when I read an experiment about taking serotonin out of a rat's, like, keeping a rat from, like, secreting serotonin and, like, driving them to suicide and rats committing suicide, I was like, oh my god, this is so fucked up. That's
wow.
Not okay. And somehow, like, I drew the line there with suicidal rats.
So in recompense, you brought the Rat McMansion.
No, but you did just give us a really good band name.
Rat Suicide.
Suicide Rats.
Suicide Rats. All right.
Suicidal Rats.
Suicidal Rats. Okay.
I'm still going to pull for Cream Sleeve. That face right there is exactly why it's my favorite. Because it's just like everything about it, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, Cream Sleeve was one of the band names for a little while.
Oh.
In my heart, it's always been Cream Sleeve.
God.
Cream Sleeve. You know what would see Cream Sleeve? Mistress Sweet Juice.
Oh, yes! Mistress Sweet Juice and Cream Sleeve.
She was playing tonight.
She was the Cream Sleeve.
Cream Sleeve is opening for Mistress Sweet Juice.
I still have a playlist on my Google Play account with the songs we were practicing, and it's still called Critical Mast.
God damn it. I still play all those songs.
I haven't played them in a long time. My guitar is in the basement.
I got a whole warm-up routine that I do every day.
But I might start playing piano soon.
You guys can do duets.
Yeah.
I got Julian electric piano for Christmas.
So basically, it's
in the car right now.
Basically just stole my move from last year.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good move.
She's been talking about wanting a piano, like a full size piano, and it's like we don't have the room.
Yeah.
Until that room gets redone, mm-hmm. We don't have the room.
Pianos are a lot to deal with.
They're a lot to deal with, and like you can't put them away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to tune them every year.
So like when you don't play the piano for 3 months, like the piano's still there.
Right. So I got an electric piano.
Yeah.
So it can be put away.
It can be put away.
Yeah.
And it only costs a couple hundred dollars. So
it's also more versatile too.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to take it somewhere, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, you can plug it into literally. Shit. So, like...
Well, and the one we've got, the one I got, has Bluetooth capabilities. So, like, you can attach it to apps that, for teaching and sure, stuff like that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, like I could have got this one, because it's the newer... This one's a newer model. It was a little bit less expensive. Or I could have got last year's model, which was a little bit bigger. That the speakers were a little bit better on it.
I mean, like,
yeah,
you've got speakers,
right? Yeah, but it didn't have the Bluetooth capability. Like, it had more functionality as far as the voices that it had on it for the different instruments. But it also had this really sweet thing where you've got the electric piano, mm-hmm. and it's got a stand specially made for that piano. That makes it look like a piece of furniture instead of just an electric piano on one of those X stands, you know? Mm-hmm. So it, like, I was really tempted to get that one, but I figured it's going to be less likely to be useful for learning if you can't get the tool, like learn. Yeah, yeah. So like, I went with the little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? If we really want one, like if we really decide to invest in one, we can do that later.
An instrument's one of those things that, like, you start small and grow into, like, when you really get into it.
Yeah. Plus, like, $200, like, that's not much of an investment. And I think all four of us will probably end up using it. So, with the kids doing voice lessons, their voice teacher was even, like, a couple of months ago, he was like, Holden should, if you can, he should get some kind of keyboard. Because if we can teach him to accompany himself right now, that will just help him.
Does he play an instrument?
He used to. He used to be in band when he was in junior high.
But it's hard to match pitch against anything else other than a piano. Yeah.
Right.
Like, that piano is like the perfect pitch match. One, you don't have to do anything other than hit the right fucking key.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing with it is one of the problems he had is timing and counts with his, because last weekend he did a performance as like at a recital for his music studio. They did a Christmas recital, so everybody who wanted to could perform a song. So I mean, there was everything from little kids singing a song to piano playing to this one girl got up and did, she sang, then she went to the piano, then she played violin.
Oh
yeah. And she was probably, I'd say she's probably 12 or 13. She wasn't like, there were better of piano any of players three. and better vocalists. But the fact that she got up there and did all three was just like, mm-hmm. oh my God. And like the last girl that went up and sang, it was just like, Jesus Christ, when are we buying her CD? You know, she was just really good. And it was weird because like none of her songs, like everybody else was doing Christmas stuff. And she was doing like something from Stevie Wonder. And it's like, what is happening? Like, cause you get the list of stuff and then she gets up there and sings and it was like, okay. All right. Yeah. You can sing whatever the hell you want. You're really good.
Also fucking Christmas songs.
But Holden got up there and was doing his thing and he kept coming in early. And like, if he's accompanying himself, he can monitor that a little better. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, his vocal teacher was the one accompanying him on piano. So like he was early, but by the end of that phrase, he had matched it up perfectly. He's like, his instructor's really good. And Holden's like, delete that video. It's awful. It's like, hey, that's how you learn.
Yeah. This is the reminder.
Yeah.
You watch this when you think that you're good.
Right. But, so that's sitting in the car. I had to drive to Bridgeton today to get that.
Oh, that Guitar Center there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to the one in Crestwood because they were supposed to have it. They're like, we have two in the system.
Oh, God.
They didn't have any.
Oh, yeah. That place is a disaster.
So then he checked on the system for the one in Fairview Heights. Oh, they show three. So I walked out to the car and called them like, hey, do you have any? We've got one. It's our floor model.
Why didn't you ask? You know, like that two streets over from where I live.
I know it is. I wanted this done today. And I didn't want to. I know.
Gone and gotten it today.
I know you could have.
But it was a 2-minute drive.
At this point, I had nothing else to do.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like, this was my last day of work. It was 2:00. I have literally nothing else to do for the rest of the day. And I need to keep my face there until about 5. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, fuck it. I don't need to be back till 3:30. No, when I saw the traffic jam on 270, I was this close. It's like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
I know you would have done it, so. But, I had time to kill.
Been a little tight. I forgot to plug my car in last night, so I had to get home a little early to make sure that wasn't going to be an issue.
What the fuck were you doing up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I don't sleep well lately, Tony. It's just that time of year. Work is very stressful right now. So Tesla just rolled out an update for my car, so I got like a log fire, like a fire I can set burning. A Yule fire.
A Yule log?
It's something.
That's a reference you don't get yet.
I get it. I know what the Yule log is.
Did you listen? You haven't listened to the episode yet then, so you don't even
know. You don't know the full weight of the Yule log.
Nor the girth.
I hate about this.
No, we need to do that. And the thing is, I bet, have you listened to the first Christmas one?
No.
Okay, see, because I had listened to the second one, like, when I was binging the whole thing, and I forgot to listen to the first.
They just dropped the first one as the podcast.
Yeah, they dropped all three, in my Stitcher.
Romance mode.
What the fuck? Oh, my God.
So I listened to the first and the third, and it was, oh, God, it was glorious.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I listened to the third one yesterday and the first one today at work.
Yeah.
I don't like listening to the bonus episodes.
No, this is different.
Is it?
No, this is a full...
It's story.
Yeah, it's a story.
Story is the word we're using now?
Yeah. It's a narrative. It's, there's a great twist.
Isn't there?
Like, actually, it was kind of a fun...
Don't bring Des Martin into this.
It was, don't... Spoil it. Okay.
That's not a spoiler.
Okay. It was
Des Martin is in the first one.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay. Amazing twist. Actually, I think this is one of his better. I think Rocky should do short stories.
So the thing is.
Oh, Jesus.
The way that. There is. The way he frames the story.
Yes.
And the way, like, it builds.
Yes.
And then the thing happens. Uh-huh. And then they jump back into the action. And the scene ends, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He learned something.
Yeah, he actually did a thing.
Yeah, his writing is improving.
Yeah. And I think...
It's scary to say.
Well, and I think, he did like a whole, like a narratively appropriate thing. And he paced it, which is a big, he has a big pacing problem.
He does. But as a short story, it worked.
Yeah. He paced it perfectly here. As a short story. Yeah. And so I kind of feel like he should write like... a bunch of short stories about the team.
I kind of feel like that's all he does. It just kind of slaps them together and calls them a book.
Calls a book.
Yeah, but the chapters seem to be cut off and the books seem to be cut off at random times.
They do.
So it's like if he had like just sort of several complete arcs.
So the last season was the fourth season?
Yes.
So the ending of the third book, like the way that ended, like that seemed to be the point where... He's starting to figure out that the end of the book needs to do something.
Yeah, to feel like the
whether it needs to end the story or needs to set you up to launch into the next part of the story, it needs to do something. And the thing is it did both.
Yeah.
Because the chapter before the last chapter finished the story, then the last chapter prepared us for the next book. It was like, what is happening? Why is he getting better?
Rocky's learning. Maybe he got a writing coach.
A lot of criticism for a guy whose works have reached a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing is, it's getting to a point, though, where it's going to be less interesting to listen to as a podcast because he's improving as a writer. Yeah,
but he's probably not going to be quite good enough that it's going to be a great
book. It's still going to be cervix punching fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Her cervix tightened.
Oh, stop. Grabbed her by the cervix. But here's the problem. I think that's going to be a side effect of his writing occurring while the podcast is airing, because now the podcast will influence his writing.
I think they said that the next season will...
It matches up with season two of them actually recording it.
I think so. I think that's what they said.
So, like, those things happening concurrently. So maybe this next season, maybe...
is where we see it, because he had the four books written before they started recording.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah.
Mm. Rocky fucking Flintstone.
I thought I had put Panda outside and then I just left him out there for an hour and a half.
He's in. No, the weather's actually nice enough that he'd probably just curl up at the door, but...
It's still cold.
Or he'd be barking.
Yeah.
Earlier this evening, he was barking at something out in the yard. I don't.
Well, this is why this house is safe, and why you don't appreciate that is beyond everyone. It's 44 degrees out there. That's a bit on the cold side.
Yeah. Earlier this evening, it wasn't bad.
Oh my God! It's supposed to snow on Christmas.
It's all coming.
There's nothing coming together.
One, it's not gonna have issues coming back on the 26th.
It's not going to fucking snow. Don't worry about it.
All right. Let's call this one.
Yep.
All right. Next time we will talk about Aquaman.
Will we?
We will.